Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Richmond's home for the most local sports talk in town, 910 AM, 105.1 FM, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Download it today for free anywhere you get your apps at. It's AUDACY. That's AUDACY. Search 910 The Fan, and you can take the radio show with you on the go. Just after 12:15 here on a Tuesday, June 24th, we bring in Michael Phillips for a little crosstalk.
If I could just have your attention.
It's Crosstalk with Adam Epstein and Michael Phillips on The Fan. It's like that one 90s movie that everybody loved. What's the name of that movie? It's not Crosstalk, but it sounds like Crosstalk. It's Crosstalk on The Fan. Oh, Face Off with Travolta and Nick Cage. But this is Crosstalk.
Michael, so you know I want to talk Commanders anytime we get you on the mic here because of your experience covering this team as a beat writer and now talking about it on 910 The Fan. And, you know, Biff asked me the other day if this is the most I'm excited for a season in how long. And I said my entire life. I really feel that way because the RG3 year had the asterisks at the end of his knee was destroyed.
Yeah, it's not the 2012 season because we didn't have expectations going into his rookie year, right?
It was, and it's not the Kirk year because I saw through that BS, I'll tell you.
I think it's 2013 to the extent that there is a year in your lifetime. The year after RG3, he has the surgery. He's all in for week one. Everybody's, oh, they're going to pick up right where they left off. I think that's the second place winner.
It is, but... You know, did we really believe they were going to pick up right where they left off? I mean, we all saw his knee was shredded against Seattle.
Well, we all thought he would pick up where he left off. We didn't realize how bad that relationship was with him and Mike Shanahan. Like, that they weren't even speaking to each other. And then when we saw that at training camp, it was, oh, okay, we got to reevaluate this. We got to take a big step backwards. But you're right. I mean, there is a ton of excitement around this season. I mean, without having numbers in front of me, this is probably the most primetime games they're going to play.
Oh, 100%.
In a really long time.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And it's because of Jaden Daniels being, you know, bursting onto the scene last year. But I think back to, like, when I was a kid and, like, you know, the Jason Campbell years, the Mark Brunell years, Joe Gibbs coming back, Joe Gibbs 2.0. Yeah. We never had this much hype before the season. All of those teams, I felt like, were 4-6 and then went on a 6-0 run to get in the playoffs. So many of those teams got hot in late November or December. You know, we're talking about a team here that in June is being talked about as one of the sexiest teams in the NFL, and I don't think I've been able to say that my entire life.
No, I think you're absolutely right. The way they made the playoffs was they backed into it, even in the RG3 season. Of course, you remember Mike Shanahan at the bye week, we're going to see who wants to be on this team next year. We're going to evaluate some things. We're 3-6 before they roll off.
Yeah.
The wins coming out of the bye week, the 7 straight to make the playoffs, the win against the Cowboys. Probably 2006, if we're pulling deep cuts from the past. That was right after the first Joe Gibbs 2.0 playoff appearance.
Was that a little Todd Collins at quarterback?
Yeah, and they won the playoff game the year before. They went down to Tampa, won the playoff game. I think that's what got everybody excited. And of course, they face planted that season. That was the 5-11 season. So all of our hyped up seasons have not ended well. And I would love to see that streak broken. Not that I need 12 wins, but I would love to see a wild card playoff appearance. Something that makes me believe every season can be good, or at least they can be contenders every season.
Talking about Commanders with Michael Phillips, MP on the mic, can be heard Monday through Friday from 10 to 12 noon. I'm 12 to 3 here on The Fan. So I feel like Adam Peters has done his job. Like, he can wash his hands, walk away, and say, I have done my part in helping Jaden Daniels develop. I brought in a left tackle. I brought in an all-pro wide receiver. I drafted a right tackle. I drafted a wide receiver. I feel like Adam Peters has done his part, and now it's up to Cliff Kingsbury and company to make sure Jaden develops.
I agree with that, and that was an important organizational statement to make, just in the sense of you don't want these contract negotiations to get out of control. You don't want him even thinking, hey, what if I experimented with free agency? Hey, what if I, you know, thought about being on another team? You want him in that year three, assuming he's still playing well, you want him thinking, this is a team, an organization, and a staff that cares about me, that cares about my growth, that cares about putting talent around me. I want to stay here forever. I want to sign a long-term deal. I don't want to go to free agency. I don't want to see what's out there. That was the statement that was made this offseason, and you're absolutely right. Now, the continuity, year two, Cliff Kingsbury, what will he be able to do with a full offseason under his belt, those two knowing each other? I think that gets everybody really excited.
There's one bit of business work that needs to be done before the season gets here. Terry McLaurin getting a new contract. He signed in July, about 3 years ago, a $69 million contract, $23.2 million per year, that will be voided at the end of the 2026 season. Here's the game I want to play with you, Michael. I'm going to name NFL players. You tell me who Terry McLaurin should be paid more than. Okay?
Okay, so are these going to be wide receivers or everybody?
Wide receivers.
I'm ready.
All right, should Terry McLaurin make more than $40 million made by Ja'Marr Chase?
No, Ja'Marr Chase is not just a special talent. He's also a young special talent. What is he?
25.
Are you kidding me? Yeah, he's going to be good for at least five more years. Yeah.
At 26, Justin Jefferson is making $35
million. Yeah, and no, and Terry McLaurin is not better than Justin Jefferson.
At 26, CeeDee Lamb is making $34 million.
That was a stupid contract by the Cowboys, so this is the one that makes me think, but the line is, we're going to draw the line further down than this.
DK Metcalf is 28. He's making nearly $33 million at 32.9.
Nah, keep the line moving.
A.J. Brown is 28. He's making $32 million.
I think we're in striking distance now, but A.J. Brown is a special talent. He's
the next guy
Terry.
You know is the guy that I went to war with last year in the playoff game, and that is that Terry McLaurin, I believe, is better than 26-year-old Amon-Ra St. Brown, who's making $30
million. We're really, really close now. This is the debate. At the moment, I'm going to say Amon-Ra St. Brown is better than Terry McLaurin. It's not even 70-30. This is a 51-49. This is very, very debatable. Give me the next one, and I think we're ready to draw the line. Who's next?
The opinions of Michael Phillips do not reflect this show. Terry McLaurin is so much better than Amon-Ra St. Brown. Yeah. He showed that with the screen pass. 31-year-old Tyreek Hill at $30
million. Done. Tyreek Hill, he is a speedster. He is a game changer. Nothing but respect for Tyreek Hill and what he does. All-around contributions. Terry McLaurin is absolutely better than Tyreek Hill. You would rather have, in a blind taste test to general managers, who would you rather sign for the same contract? They're going to pick Terry.
I'm not ready to go that way. I think Tyreek Hill's speed is unmatched in the National Football League, and the Tua issue, I think, is maybe clouding your judgment. We'll see if he can have a bounce back year. But I still think Tyreek Hill is in the top five. And so that's why I can't say no to, I can't say yes to that. Brandon Ayuk, 27, $30
million. Yeah, I think we're in the Terry ballpark there. I think that's the Terry deal, right? 30 in that term.
Yeah, because I have him better than Ayuk, Higgins, and Jalen Waddle. What's interesting is I have DJ Moore ahead of Terry McLaurin.
I was about to ask why I hadn't heard DJ Moore's name yet.
Yeah, because he's a little lower at only $27.5 million. But
that's a good deal.
Is Terry better than Ayuk, Higgins, and Waddle? Because if so, he needs to make more than $29 million a year.
Well, and if those guys came up for contracts this year, they would make 30 or more a year. If they were renegotiating right now, they'd hit 30. I think 30's the number. I also think this. You will never get a better window of time to make a deal happen than right now, because you can structure a three-year deal where all 3 years are still in the Jaden Daniels rookie contract, and you don't have to worry about that cap hit. If we have this discussion in 3 years, all right, now we got tough decisions to make, because you got $60 million of Jaden Daniels' salary on that salary cap. Who knows what it's going to be by then, by the way. He may be a $70 million a year quarterback by the time we get there. You don't have that problem now. Makes it a lot easier to say just pay the money.
So from the professor's perspective here, Terry McLaurin hasn't gotten a contract done because Washington probably wants to pay him below that $32 million of like A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf, but he wants more than Higgins, Waddle, and Brandon Ayuk.
It wouldn't surprise me either, and I don't know. Terry is very tight-lipped, and the team now is very tight-lipped. I don't think it's outrageous to say. I was getting a lot of information from the team back in the days of the leagues. This team is very tight-lipped about the negotiations. It would not surprise me if they want a two-year guarantee.
That's what I thought, too.
And Terry wants more.
Yeah. So I could see making him happy with 2 years, $62 million. Right, because then he gets that 31. He gets ahead of the Ayuk, the Higgins, the Tyreek Hills.
I'd be really surprised if the final number isn't higher than 30.
Yeah,
that would really surprise
me. So what are you predicting here?
I think it's 3 for $90.
Wow. Okay.
I think they pay him. I think they know they need him. I think they know if they don't have him, they're wasting a potential most important offseason of all time. Right. I think Terry's got some leverage here. I think they pay him the 90 over 3.
I certainly agree with you that he has the leverage after 1,000 yards and 13 touchdowns. That's Michael Phillips. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for the Commanders. You can hear every game on 910 AM, 105.1 FM. Always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. We got the most Commanders coverage in town with the Junkies Monday through Friday from 6 to 10. Michael Phillips, 10 to noon. AWOD Radio, myself 12 to 3 before I hand it off to Grant and Danny. Phone lines are open, 833-804-0910, 833-804-0910. Can Frankie Louvu be an all-pro, a first-team all-pro linebacker this season? Question of the day, 833-804-0910 on the Richmond Commander.
It's time for the Richmond Commander.
Are you ready for some?
The phones are open. It's your chance to be the quarterback of this segment.
There's something I like to say.
Every day at 1 p.m. on AWOD Radio, the Richmond Commander.
We all know how much of a vocal leader Bobby Wagner was last season. I mean, it was pretty incredible. It felt like every time the team went on a losing streak or every time their backs were against the wall, we heard reports that Bobby Wagner had a speech or that Bobby Wagner brought the team together or that even in training camp, Bobby Wagner had Jaden Daniels working extra, and Bobby Wagner was the older brother to Jaden. He was the vocal leader on the team last season. I don't think we've given enough credit to Frankie Luvu as the team's emotional leader. He racked up the best stats he's ever had in several categories. Tackles, quarterback hits, sacks, forced fumbles, even had an interception. He signed a multi-year deal with Washington last offseason and literally came into his prime, in my mind. Had his best season of his career, leading this team with the help of Bobby Wagner defensively to the NFC Championship game. He's not dwelling on the past. He told the Commanders' Brian Colbert Jr. this week, "I know it's unfinished business." He set a standard for last season, and he said, quote, "I know it's unfinished business. We left a lot out there last year, but last year was last year. This year is a new beginning, a new start." Luvu said he thought that the Commanders put him anywhere in their defense and could really utilize his athleticism as a blitzer, and that's why you saw his stats skyrocket. I do think it had to do also with the fact that he had the best linebacker pairing of his NFL career working next to Bobby Wagner. The fact that he stayed healthy, knock on wood, that happens again, but started all 17 games. And so he was asked about what he's been doing this offseason. He said, quote, "Mostly eating, taking care of my body, and the extra workouts I do outside of the work that I'm doing with the Commanders." He says he's following the advice of veterans like Bobby Wagner and Zach Ertz, who have had high levels of success for a long time in the National Football League. He's just trying to bring his body to full energy. He said, quote, "A full battery for me to perform on Sundays." And I think that Luvu is in a position to not only improve and continue to have, you know, in his prime, his best season of his career statistically and through the eye test on the field. I also think he can be first team all pro as a linebacker. I legit think Frankie Luvu can be first team all pro as a linebacker. He was last year as a 28-year-old, his first all pro selection, second team all pro. And it was close. It was close. I believe it was Fred Warner, Zach Bond, and Raekwon Smith above him. He had 99 tackles heading into the playoffs. Career high, 8 sacks, 14 quarterback hits, 12 tackles for loss. And I felt like that was the thing that I kept noticing. Luvu leading to negative plays, right? This defense was not good on first down. That was their biggest issue. A lot of times, 8-yard run, it's 2nd and 2. And then Luvu would knock a guy in the backfield, and all of a sudden it's 3rd and 4. He had a ton of tackles for loss this season. 7 passes defended, 2 fumble recoveries, 1 forced fumble, and a key interception as Washington won on the road at Tampa and then won on the road in Detroit to make it to the conference championship game. This is a guy that played at Washington for the Cougars from 2014 to 2017. Played for the Jets in 2018 as an undrafted free agent. Spent about 3 seasons in Carolina before coming to Washington as a free agent. And look, I've talked about this in the past. Adam Peters, I don't think, has given enough credit for the guys he brought in last season. Like, we credit him for Bobby Wagner. We credit him for Zach Ertz. What about Frankie Luvu? What about Jeremy Chinn, right? What about Tyler Biadasz? Under the radar signings we made last season. And so it's hard to improve in the NFL from good to great, but I think the Commanders are in a position with Frankie Luvu playing another year with Bobby Wagner, the additions of Dietrich Wise, the additions of Trey Amos, Will Harris, that I think Luvu can take a step forward. My expectations for the defense are that they do take a big step forward, and that is Luvu leading the way. So what would an all-pro, first-team all-pro season look like for Frankie Luvu? He's got to have about 6 to 8 sacks once again. He had 12 tackles for loss last year. He's got to do that again. He's got to get the tackle total to about 115, 120, and he was at 99 last year. He had the forced fumbles with 2. QB pressures, he probably needs to do a little more than that. And then highlight plays. Like, for example, you know, last year, Luvu had a big highlight play when he hit Malik Nabers and forced him to fumble. But I'm thinking about, like, Dante Fowler Jr.'s pick 6 against the Panthers. That was his highlight play. Frankie Luvu needs more highlight plays like that. But he is high energy. He is an impact first style of defensive player. I think he can absolutely make that leap to all pro. you know, this is a guy that loves the style that Dan Quinn wants in his linebackers and Joe Witt Jr. You think he's like almost like a hybrid of a Micah Parsons and like a middle linebacker, like Bobby Wagner. I mean, it's so cool the things he can do on the field. I really think he is a full sideline-to-sideline linebacker, and you don't truly see that often. He can set the edge on third down. He can cover zones because he's so quick, and he's a heavy hitter. He can jar that ball loose. You know, maybe he needs to improve on covering tight ends, but I don't want that to be a big part of his game. I want him more getting after the quarterback, and I think you will see him line up on the edge more this season on obvious passing down situations, because I almost think Dan Quinn and Joe Witt Jr. didn't truly know what they had in him last year. He was playing linebacker, and then they sent him on a few, you know, they did the cross dog blitz a couple times a game with him and Bobby Wagner. I almost think if you ask Dan Quinn how many sacks he expected from Luvu, he'd probably say 4 or 5. Instead, they got double that with 8. So I think going into a season where they kind of can game plan and to almost expect 8 sacks from Luvu, I think you'll see him more lined up on the edge. I think you'll see him more in blitzing situations, especially on third downs. And I think you're going to see more trust in Luvu from Joe Witt Jr. and Dan Quinn, as Bobby Wagner might not play every snap again this year, might not be available for all 17 games. You're going to need more faith in Luvu and Luvu to make a leap forward in his game. The Luvu leap got him national attention when the Eagles wouldn't stop their dumb tush push, and he almost had Washington give up a touchdown because of that rule. But he was terrific throughout the entire season, and I definitely think he can improve on that. As a whole, though, can the team get better defensively? Well, Logan Paulson pointed to the issues they had on first down as a team. The defense gave up too many yards on first down, you know, forcing them to make, you know, adjustments. He thinks they can be better on first down. Let's take a listen.
Yeah, I think that's a really good question, actually. And I do think they are going to be significantly better. And it's mostly because of the stuff we talked about earlier with Deron Payne, Kinlaw, Jazon Newton, Goldman, Dietrich Wise, Cleveland Farrell being back. I think what they did is they went out and they found people to make this team better on first down. I think when you look at last year, the big struggle, in my opinion, was was how this team handled first down runs specifically. And they're getting into, you know, second and sixes, second and fives, because the running efficiency for the opposition team was so high. So you've gotten out, you've gotten better on first down, and you didn't just get better. I think you found guys that are like specialty pitchers in baseball a little bit. Like Goldman is a true shade nose player, and there aren't a lot of those guys in the NFL. And you get a guy that has that kind of athletic profile. Now, he's not going to, you know, play 60 snaps for you, but if he can come out on 20 and do his thing, which is split double teams, keep linebackers clean, make you a little bit more efficient in terms of stopping the run on first down, add in Dietrich Wise, his size, his ability to rush the passer inside, outside, I think is going to be really a nice kind of, again, add-on feature there.
If this team can be better on first down with some of the additions they've added, you know, then I think you can have more opportunities for Frankie Luvu to rush the passer. It's simply just way too many runs of 6 or 7 yards on first down. Completely changes the dynamic of not just like who's on the field, but what formation you're running. But whether it be nickel, you know, dime, cover two, cover three, that all depends on the yard marker, right? If it's 2nd and 9, you could be a lot more aggressive than a 2nd and 5. Same thing on 3rd down, and then even again on 4th down, as the Commanders just could not get off the field defensively too many times last season, giving up big explosive plays on 3rd down or even 4th down conversions throughout the entire season. Defensively, it held them back, and it forced, you know, for this team to win 12 games, they had to have a top 5 offense and a top 3 quarterback, basically, in Jaden Daniels. And he was, but I think for Jaden to take a step forward, the defense needs to take a step forward and give him more opportunities to have the ball by getting off the field more, creating more turnovers, and helping the offense dominate time of possession. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Phone lines are open, 833-804-0910. That's 833-804-0910. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Welcome back. Adam Epstein, you're listening to AWOD Radio. here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, tomorrow is the 2025 NBA Draft. The Washington Wizards will be on the clock for pick number 6, and then again for pick 18. The NBA has decided to make this year's NBA Draft, and probably for the foreseeable future, two nights, back-to-back, Wednesday, first round, round 2 on Thursday. Time to give you the latest NBA mock draft ahead of tomorrow's draft here on The Fast Break with AWOD.
Let's go. Let's play some basketball here.
We're going on The Fast Break with AWOD. From buzzer-beating shots to the best highlight plays from around the league, every clutch moment.
Stroking it from three.
The all-stars of the league. We're out in transition. It's a breakaway.
It's good at the buzzer.
It's The Fast Break and AWOD talking all things NBA.
So tomorrow's 2025 NBA draft will begin with the Dallas Mavericks on the clock. Somehow, dumb Nico Harrison lucked into the number 1 overall pick after trading his franchise's best player, Luka Doncic, to the LA Lakers. So Dallas lucked into getting number 1, and they will select Cooper Flagg. San Antonio lucked into getting number 2, and all reports are that they will select Rutgers freshman Dylan Harper. We all thought at number 3 would be Ace Bailey. Ace has canceled his workout with the Philadelphia 76ers, and now they are rumored to select VJ Edgecombe out of Baylor. At 4, the Charlotte Hornets like Trey Johnson. At 5, the Utah Jazz will take a shot on Duke small forward Con Knipple. At number 6, the latest mock drafts have Washington selecting Rutgers freshman Ace Bailey. If Bailey falls all the way to this spot, it won't be because of his talent. It will be because his representation forced his way here. A lot of people believe he's a top 3 prospect, a jumbo wing, high-level athlete, tough shot maker, but refusing to work out with Philadelphia or Charlotte have people thinking he's forcing his way to Washington. Last year, Alex Saar kind of forced his way to Washington, refusing to work out with the Atlanta Hawks. I'm going to tell you right now, I think Ace Bailey is going to be much better than both Zachary Richichet and Alex Saar, who went 1-2 last year. Ace Bailey would have gone number 1 last year, and if I were the GM selecting number 1 overall, I would take Ace Bailey over Cooper Flagg. I think he's got more potential. Here's what I love about Ace Bailey. The ceiling is through the roof. He can be LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Brandon Ingram, all rolled into one. Oh, he canceled a workout. Who cares? Because he doesn't want to go to a team that already has a 1A, an alpha. He wants to be the dog, the man that walks in the building in Washington, D.C., and leads this franchise from irrelevant to back to maybe the promised land, at least back to the postseason. There's just too much to like about his game offensively. He can score with a limited amount of dribbles. There's no shot selection on the court that he doesn't love. He can hit from anywhere. Super athletic. I think that's a sneaky part of his game that's underrated. He's listed at 6'8", 6'9". I think his wingspan's almost 7 foot, so you're looking at a guy that's dribbling the rock with his shoes on at like 6'10", dunking on people. I see a Kevin Durant in his offensive game. I see a chase down block like a LeBron James. I think he can do everything on the basketball court when he tries. And maybe that's the issue. And Rutgers, the coaching staff, they couldn't get him to try hard enough, because this is what we're dealing with in the NIL and college portal. They threw a big bag of money at him to get him to Rutgers. Already enough that he could pay for his family and friends to get a nice household. And so did he really care all that much last season, or was he focusing on his goal, his dream of making it to the NBA? And so every single year you have guys that hype up a prospect and then they tear them down as we get close to the NBA draft. And this year, that's Ace Bailey, who went from a number 2 overall prospect to now there's some mock drafts that don't even have him going in the top 10. That's ludicrous. I mean, that's insane thinking right there, to take a guy that scored 39 points in a college basketball game, 37, 30, went over 20 points consistently last year for a Rutgers team that wasn't great, but they're playing against NBA talent in that conference. I just think the offensive game is what I've fallen in love with Ace Bailey. And I believe, first off, I don't believe they're playing defense in the NBA at all. And number 2, I believe you can actually coach defense. You can't coach the type of talent that Ace Bailey has. You can't coach a guy to take 2 dribbles and rise over a 7-footer and knock it down in his face. That's what Ace Bailey can do. You know, he comes from he comes from an area where he worked hard to get where he's at, and you could tell he grinded, and you could tell that he accomplished everything that he wanted to accomplish by getting to Rutgers. And now it's the next step. Can he become a perennial all-star in the NBA? I see that in his future. I think Ace Bailey is your NBA Rookie of the Year. I think Ace Bailey can score more than 15 points a game for the Washington Wizards as probably their starting power forward this year. He's going to be able to spread the floor with his outside shot, but I think you're going to be obsessed with his athletic ability driving the basket when you watch him play in the NBA next season. It's athletic finishes. It's above the rim. It's under the rim with the reverses. He's even got like a nice mid-range floater. He could score. There's no place on the NBA court that this man can't score the ball. And that's why this is a blessing in disguise for Washington that should have had a top three pick fall into number six. But all of a sudden, one of the top three prospects from this year's draft and a guy that I'm guaranteeing would have gone number one overall last year can be selected at number six. You do not find talent like that with upside like his at number six overall. This is a guy that would have gone top three in most drafts. And because he canceled a workout, his agent is forcing his way to a team where he can be the star. That's not going to happen in Dallas with Kyrie Irving. It's not going to happen in San Antonio with Victor Wembanyama. It's not going to happen in Philly with Joel Embiid. That's why Washington is the right destination. Brian Windhorst chimes in on why he thinks Ace Bailey has been falling in latest mock drafts.
Every year there's a dangerous prospect in the draft, at least one. He's a dangerous prospect because he's obviously incredibly talented. You draft him, it could be a grand slam. You pass on him, and somebody else drafts him, and you might have it all over your face. You draft him, and it doesn't work out because of these are concerns. That could get you fired. He is a classic situation, and that's why I think the team that gets him will be a team with a general manager who is very safe in his job, who says, trust me, I believe in this player, and that's what I would be watching for on draft night.
I mean, everything about that just screams Washington Wizards, right? A GM that's very comfortable in his position. Michael Winger and Will Dawkins aren't going anywhere. Ted Leonsis has fully put the faith in them. He trusts their rebuild process. Otherwise, they wouldn't have lasted after losing 60-plus games, right? So the Wizards general manager in the position to take a risk like this, and you just heard from Winners, he is a dangerous prospect because if you do not select him, you could be out of a job when a team behind you makes the playoffs with him leading the way. Sometimes you got to swing for the fences. Sometimes you got to take risks. Sometimes the middle of the lane is wide open and you can dunk the basketball. Ace Bailey is the pull-up three. And you know what? 3 points are greater than two. I'm taking a shot at a guy that has superstar potential rather than a guy that I think can be a solid role player on a playoff team. I'm telling you, I don't just say LeBron James, Kevin Durant for no reason when I'm talking about Ace Bailey. You watch the highlights yourself, you'll be blown away. Biff, you watched about 30 minutes of Ace Bailey highlights right there. You couldn't turn it off after I went on my rant.
Absolutely not. I mean, the kid's athletic. The kid's got, like you said, tough shot making. And I watched him at Rutgers. It's tough because, like you said, I mean, Rutgers did not have the season that they were supposed to have. But, I mean, Ace Bailey, genuinely, 17 points a game, 8 rebounds a game, consistent, right? It wasn't like, oh, he had, you know, 40 points four times and he had 10 points another time. He was consistent. He was consistent. You know, I do worry about his bad shot selection sometimes, but it's the NBA.
I mean, Kevin Durant takes bad
That's
shots.
That's what I'm saying. And listen,
Jason Tatum takes bad shots.
What did Jordan say? You miss all the shots you don't take.
Yeah.
And he takes that and he strives, right? And so I like, and especially at six, and like you said, at six, and you have the chance at Ace Bailey. If the Wizards do not pick Ace Bailey at six, I will stop becoming a Wizards fan, genuinely.
I'm also going to double down on this. Rutgers at 8-12 in the Big Ten. It's not as horrible of a season as everybody's saying. Penn State was worse. And look, they stole our coach, right? Rutgers plays against Indiana, Oregon, Illinois, UCLA. Oh, yeah, the top five teams were all in the top 20. Michigan State, Maryland. He played one of his best games against Michigan,
yep.
Wisconsin, Purdue. And so all of this talk that, oh, well, they had two of the top five players in that are going to be drafted in the NBA, but Rutgers was below 500. Well, yeah, because it just doesn't work to pay guys millions of dollars to get to come to your team, and then you get them for 1 year. One, they don't have chemistry. Two, do they really care that much? And three, like I just said, the Big Ten, underrated in my mind as a conference as a whole, especially with the additions of like USC. You can't sleep on Iowa. That's a good basketball school. Like I said, Penn State has at least a good coaching staff right now. So Rutgers at 8-12, I don't think it's like the worst red flag of all time for don't draft this guy because his team was awful.
I'm really happy that you said that because no one really understands, because I'm a Big Ten watcher. I'm a Maryland fan. We're Maryland fans. Like, the Big Ten's a tough conference, man. Right. They're tough. They make, like, you, the first, the teams are like 5, 6, 7. They're in the NCAA tournament. And then you got to think about, oh, away games, too. They played some tough away games. They played tournaments. They played Texas A&M. We watched some of their highlights. Rutgers had a tough schedule because of what they thought they could be. And in college basketball, if you do not have that experience, which is almost impossible nowadays, if you do not have experience, you can't win games. You can't have that Duke team with Zion, RJ, and Cam again. You can't have that. And there's a reason why they lost to Cassius Winston and Michigan State, because of experience. So I always knew that Rutgers wasn't going to be this team that everyone sought out. I thought they would be better for sure. But again, that doesn't say anything about what Ace Bailey did as a freshman at Rutgers and what he could be in the NBA.
Red flags. He doesn't like to defend. He was lazy at times. And Rutgers had a bad record.
I
could find a million green flags.
I like those red flags.
I could find a million green flags for this kid. I think my favorite thing is that the game he had 37 points, he did it in less than 15 dribbles.
Yeah.
In the NBA, unless you're SGA, you can't just pound the rock into the ground.
Well, you were watching him, and it's like, it's like you said, three dribbles, he gets to a spot, which is insane, because especially in college, people are working hard, especially on the defensive end. He takes three dribbles. He's exactly where he wants to be. He likes that mid-range pull-up game, but he's got a little floater game too as well.
I'm not going to say he's going to get to this level, but I see visions of Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, and the fact that this kid has confidence in his two or three dribble moves to get an open look. And in the NBA, when you can do that, you can be a 25-point-per-game scorer easily. I'm going Ace Bailey at number 6 overall. You're listening to AWOD here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Joining us right now to talk a little NBA draft. It will be tomorrow, and the Washington Wizards will be on the clock with picks number 6 and 18 on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. It's our buddy Coach Chris Nockey. What's going on, Coach?
What's going on, Adam? It's been a while.
Absolutely. Tremendous college basketball season. It was fun to get you on the show. We're looking forward to seeing your daughter have success with Coach Odom at UVA. But right now we're talking about tomorrow's NBA draft, and I think you're the perfect guy to get on the show, given the fact that you're working with Maryland basketball as their color analyst. I'm obsessed with all things Ace Bailey, and if he falls to Washington at number six, that's just the perfect scenario for me. Can you give me your thoughts on what you saw in Ace Bailey his one season at Rutgers?
Yeah, you know, he didn't have his best game against the Terps this year, but he had some remarkable games as a freshman. Yeah, I remember watching him one night, and he was at they were playing at Northwestern, and he had the easiest 37 or 38 points I think I saw all year long. And the one thing that concerns me, I don't really get this, and I don't understand it, but his what he's doing now in terms of not working out for a lot of clubs that are asking him to work out seems a little bit curious to me. I'm not sure why that would be, but it does look like, because of that he probably would be available for the Wiz, and it could certainly do a lot worse than Ace Bailey, for sure. I mean, there was a time early in the season where he was really sort of a consensus number two behind Flag. Now he's dropped a little bit. Dylan Harper has risen, but you know, he's a talented kid, and athletic as could be, and really has a nose for scoring.
Yeah, you make a great point with what's going on behind the scenes with him not visiting certain teams. It's very weird. I kind of think there, you know, there's a bigger kind of picture perspective. It's like, well, these guys have been talking to agents since they were in high school with the amount of money they're now getting to go to college. Like, why would Ace Bailey end up in Rutgers? Because they offered him a boatload of money. And so the agent is so involved, probably too heavily involved. And we heard the same thing last year. Alex Sarr didn't want to go work out in Atlanta. He ended up in Washington. We could see a similar situation with Ace Bailey. But in terms of his potential, his upside, you know, how good he could be, I've been saying I think there's a chance he could be a better talent in the NBA than Cooper Flagg. Like, I really think the fact that he can get to his spot in two or three dribbles, the athletic ability from this kid, and he's so young, I think he could even grow taller.
Yeah, I mean, I think he measured 6'7" at the draft, and he, you know, he's a young kid, so absolutely he could grow. He certainly needs to fill out some from what he is right now. And I would agree with you on Flag. I, you know, while you got to have some huevos to do this, if I were sitting on the number one pick and I could put together a package that included that and maybe, you know, to get the freak to come to my town or something like that, I would be compelled to kind of give that some thought. But yeah, I mean, he's a talented kid, Aces. The world is his oyster right now. He's only going to get better. And, you know, he played on the same team with a very ball dominant guard in Dylan Harper and still was able to have a really successful season. I think he's going to be a very good professional player. If he fell to the Wiz, I'd be fine as a Wiz fan, and I'm one of a dwindling number, I think, but I would have no problem with that happening.
Can you kind of speak on the competition that he played in college? Because to be honest, it's pissing me off with people saying, but his Rutgers team was below 500. If he was that good, they would have been better. The Big Ten's underrated.
Yeah, Big Ten was loaded too, and the fact of the matter is, it was anytime he played two against five, which is basically what Rutgers was doing, you're going to struggle. And those kids were really, really talented. We saw, you know, tremendous game by Harper, a not so great game from Ace Bailey. But that's also part of being 18 years old, you know, being a young guy. They're not going to bring it every single night. Rutgers was just not good beyond those two guys, and the league was absolutely loaded, you know, in the top 10 teams or so. So wins are going to be scarce in a situation like that. That's just the way it is. Now, they were competitive in every game. It's not like they were getting torched every time they went out there. They just didn't have enough. And ultimately, you know, you got to have dudes. You got to have guys. It's just not going to happen for you if you don't.
But last question here on Ace Bailey. What are some current NBA comparisons you'd make if he reaches his potential?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I hope he becomes his own guy. You know, he reminds me of some of the kids who've come out of Alabama, you know, kind of the wispy, you know, 6'7" swing type guys that they seem to have in bulk down there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I it's hard to come up with a comp, you know, because, again, I saw him at his best when he was at Northwestern, and I saw him probably in his worst game, and that was in College Park. In fact, he didn't even come out in the second half. I think there were some issues, you know, he might have had, I don't know what they were, but I think he might have been sick that night, so I didn't really see the best of him that night. But, yeah, the night I saw him play against Northwestern, he reminded me of Durant. Without, you know, he's not 6'10", a legit 6'10", I think, like Durant is, but I had that kind of game where he was making threes, he was getting to his spots, he was scoring whenever he wanted to score, three levels. He was the best player on the floor by a mile, and I was just really impressed by that.
I'm so glad you said that, because that's one of the players that I compared him to. I mean, there is some Durant in the way he can do two dribbles, pull up with a guy in his face, fading away, and it's still nothing but net. I also said a little bit of LeBron with his athleticism, and maybe Brandon Ingram as well. Coach Naki with us here on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. What's interesting is Washington also has the 18th overall pick. I think they'd be willing to, you know, make a deal with somebody to try to move up. Maybe they package 6 and 18 if Bailey's not available or something. But if they sit there at 18, is there a player or two that you like?
Yeah, I tell you what, you know, a guy who's kind of in the mid-range who was hurt a lot this year was Liam McNeely from UConn.
Yeah.
Who can really score. Now, you're going to be a little redundant if you pick both those guys. If you're getting Ace Bailey at because they're both wings basically. But I think McNeely is just kind of a Swiss Army knife player. I think he's really good. Just a legit all around offensive player. Again, the verdict is out on him a little bit because of how injured he was. For a good portion of the season. But, you know, a guy like him, he's not going to embarrass you. He works his tail off. Obviously, had to play defense, at UConn. A guy like Asa Newell from Georgia would be a pickup. That's a little different position for you as well. So there are going to be some guys available. I just don't know, in terms of your question, Adam, I don't know if packaging those things allows you to move up to get a guy who's going to make – that big a difference other than you're going to find two guys at 6 and 18 that should be able to help you. This team needs players. And I'd rather not swap the two for one. You're not going to be able to move up all the way to one anyways.
Yeah.
I don't see any of the other guys in that top five really helping you like these two guys would help you long term.
Follow Chris Naki on Twitter at @XCoachNaki, TV and radio analyst for Maryland Terrapin Hoops. So before I let you go, Derek Queen, I opened up the phone lines on my Saturday show in D.C., and I was blown away with the amount of local fans, Wizards fans, that wanted him at number 6. It was just driving me kind of crazy. I think he is a very interesting prospect. Where do you think Queen's going to go, and how do you think his NBA career is going to turn out?
Yeah, I think he's going to be a good player. And it's amazing to me how much better he got from January 1 to the end of the season. He learned quickly. He got way more consistent in terms of his practice habits, in terms of the way he played, his production. He's a great guy, great kid. He's going to be great in the locker room. And he's just unbelievably skilled offensively. He's just going to have to learn how to play D and, you know, how to basically body guys up. But, man, his offensive skill set is through the roof. And I think somebody's, you know, he might slip to 12 to 15, something like that. And, he could end up on OKC for that. I think they're at 14 or 15, picking at 14 or 15. And he's gonna help it whoever he goes to. I really believe that.
Really appreciate you taking the time, Coach. Thanks so much.
All right, anytime, man.
Yep, you're listening to AWOD Radio on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.